If you would, please turn to the book of Psalms, the 37th chapter, or Psalm 37. Psalm 37. If the political landscape bothers you, you're not alone. If the increase in crime and the cruelty of man is disturbing, be not surprised. Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Further, I think that we haven't seen anything yet, for Paul again writes, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Yet, as we face these circumstances within our society, the question arises, how shall we as Christians react? And it is my objective to apply our text today, which will be verse 1 down through verse 8. Would like to apply our text to this present situation. And in it, we shall discern how we ought to respond. And so the title of the message today is "Fret Not." You'll see that as we read the verses. Fret not. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the day and the privilege of being in your house. And we ask, O God, that you would just cause us to be submissive to you, to respond well to you. And Lord, as we look around and we see so many things that can be distressing in our society, Lord, cause us not to fret. And so I pray that as, Lord, I speak this message which you've laid upon my heart to share at this time, that you just work in every heart by your Spirit, that we who are yours would be, Lord, looking to you and casting our care upon you. And Lord, we pray for those that are lost, that they might see their great need of Jesus Christ and that you would convict them of their sin, draw them unto you that they might be saved. And so we ask that you would guide and direct us by your Holy Spirit today. We thank you for what you're going to do, and we give you the glory, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message is "Fret Not." Let me offer you an overview of the psalm, the entire psalm. In the verses 1 through verse 8, we find the presence of the negative. That is, we will find evildoers and their works. And so we have the presence of the negative, which in turn can provoke a negative response in believers. And to this, David offers an alternative response while stating that the harsh end of the wicked will be that of judgment. He then shows in contrast in verse 9 down through verse 20 how the wicked will be cursed and the righteous will be blessed. This is followed by encouragement to the righteous, verse 21 through verse 31. And then David concludes with a summary regarding God's hand in opposition to the wicked, but his help toward the righteous, verse 32 through verse 40. So within this beginning of the psalm, we find the remedy of the dilemmas which we face. And it's in verse 1 down through verse 8. The first thing I want to bring to your attention is verse 1 and verse 2. Fret not. Fret not. Look at the verse. This is a psalm of David. And he says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." And so fret not. Fret not over what? The presence of evildoers. They are called workers of iniquity in verse 1. In verse 10, they're called the wicked. In verse 20, they're called the enemies of the Lord. In verse 38, they're called transgressors. And so it is very apparent to us that we recognize, as well as David understood in his day and time, the presence of evildoers. And there are those who will not do right. There are those who will not follow after God. These people are corrupt in their heart. They were true then. They've been true in every aspect of society ever since that time, even from the beginning of time. And we recognize that there is the presence of evildoers. But David says, fret not over the presence of evildoers, nor fret not over the presence of evil deeds. evildoers do evil deeds. Look at verse 12. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. Verse 14. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Verse 21, first part of the verse. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again. Verse 32, the wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. Back up to verse 7, the last part of our verse. I realize this is part of our text, but you'll notice as he talks about the wicked individual, it says these are the men who bring wicked devices to pass. Wicked people bring forth wicked things. Corrupt people bring forth corrupt things. And so, fret not over the presence of evildoers, and fret not over the presence of evil deeds. But then fret not over the presence of conflict or contradiction. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, if you look into this passage, you'll find that one of the concerns that David expresses is the fact that these people who are evil and are bringing forth these evil deeds are yet very prosperous. And so he says in the first part, first verse, he says, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Don't be envious of them. Do you know why? Because although they're corrupt, it just seems like they have everything. Although they're wicked, it seems like nothing is in their way. They never have any troubles. They never have any complications. Not like what we're going through. And so David says, don't be envious of these people. If you would look over into Psalm 73, Asaph had this problem. Psalm 73 is a psalm of Asaph. We're not going to look at everything in the text, but I will give you enough to support the premise of which I offered unto you, that we ought not fret over the contradiction we see in evildoers. You wouldn't think that they would be successful, but they are. You wouldn't think that they would be prosperous, but they are. In Psalm 73, Asaph says, verse 1, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. But for there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. And so he observes the community and he sees these people are corrupt, but they're not suffering like the righteous do. And so if you look down into verse 12, it says, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. That's a contradiction, isn't it? Go back to our passage. Isn't that a conflict? You wouldn't think evildoers would be successful, but they are. And so even in our Psalm, Psalm 37, down in verse 35, David had said this, I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. And yet what we find when we look at the beginning of the passage is, fret not. Fret not. Because there are evildoers and they do have evil deeds. And it seems like they're getting away with it, but don't fret over that. These things can cause us to fret, can they not? Let me offer you a brief quote from one of the commentators. The main subject of the psalm, the exhortation not to fret or be troubled on account of evildoers and the workers of iniquity, not to allow the mind to be anxious in regard to the fact that they are such persons, or in regard to their plans, or to their prosperity in the world. For they are soon to be cut down and pass away. And we read that in verse 2. The commentator also says, in regard to this, fret not thyself. The Hebrew word here means properly to burn, to be kindled, to be inflamed. It is often applied to anger, as if under the influence we become heated. Hence it means to fret oneself, or to be angry or indignant. We should perhaps express the same idea by the word worrying or chafing. The state of mind is that where we are worried or envious because others are prosperous and successful and we are not. End of quote. We can fret, can't we? And David says, do not fret. You look down into verse 8. as we've looked at in that brief quote about the definition here. In verse 8, it is the stirring up of anger. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Now stay away from that. Look at verse 27. It is also the provoking of a wrong response or of assimilation. And by that I mean when we look at the evil and we see that they're prosperous and they're not suffering like we're suffering, and we might just decide, well, we're just going to join them. I mean, what's the purpose of being clean and holy and following after God? Asaph had that problem in Psalm 73. Well, I might as well just go ahead and do what they do. And so we can react to them by assimilation, or we can respond properly in great heat of anger and do things that we ought not to be doing. Verse 27, he says, "Depart from evil and do good, dwell forevermore." See, this matter of what we see here in Psalm 37, and that which grieves our heart, it can cause us to fret. And it can cause us to lose our confidence in God. Verse 34, the first part of the verse there. He says, "Wait upon the Lord and keep His way." Why does he say that? Because when we look at those people who seem like they have everything and yet they're corrupt and seem to be getting away with it, we can lose confidence in God. And that's why he says, "You wait upon the Lord." I've offered you some thoughts at the beginning about what would cause us to fret. But let me offer you a few more modern examples, if we will. Of course, when we think about how the evil which pervades our society, that can cause us to fret. And so, you watch the TV and you turn on the news and then you can just walk away, "Man, I can't believe what we're seeing all the time." And it can be very distressing, can't it? The rampant crime, the global immorality, the destruction of truth and the opposition to all that is godly, the persecution that we see coming on the horizon toward God's people. We already see it in other parts of the world. Isn't that a little bit distressing? Doesn't that bother you that people who are corrupt are able to get away with this? And so we do find that these things are all about us, and that can cause us to fret. We have corrupt leaders. That can cause us to fret. The legalization of immoral acts, as we've seen in the last year or two, doesn't that cause you some distress? That can bring you to a place of fretting? And most recent, the debate over bathrooms. Unbelievable, is it not, that we have this argument over what bathroom are we to use? And we find that there are corrupt leaders who are pushing their corruption. And that can cause us to fret. You can look at the paper and be all distressed over that. Should we fret? David said, "Fret not," Psalm 37. So we look into this text. How do we keep from fretting? And I recognize we're all human. We all have the same like passions. And some are more fearful than others. And some are more worrying than others and that kind of a thing. But how do we keep from fretting? Is it right for a Christian to fret over this stuff? Well, I think David offers us a solution on how not to fret. Here's the answer, my friend. Let's look, first of all, in verse 3. Psalm 37, verse 3. First of all, how do we keep from fretting? Trust in the Lord and do good, he says. And so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Trust in the Lord. You want to keep from fretting? You're going to have to trust in God. That word trust, Kate, conveys the idea. We understand it to mean to place your confidence in, to rely upon. You have to have the assurance of ability and trustworthiness. Is God able? Is He on His throne? Is He trustworthy? Can I lean upon Him? Although I look about society and I see these evil things and I see the negative coming more to the forefront and the positive and the godly being shoved to the side, and we look at all this and that can cause great distress within us, we have to always keep in mind God is still on His throne. We must trust in the Lord. I remind you that the evildoers and their deeds have not escaped His eye. He knows the decisions that they've made. He knows the judgments of the courts. And my friend, that has not passed God's awareness. God knows. God understands. God is completely on board with what's happening. He sees these things. He knows those things. Yet He allows them. And we look at those things and we can fret. But should we fret? No, we should trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord, He says. And although they may appear to be successful for a time, keep in mind, God is always victorious. That song, you know, we read the back of the book and we win. I mean, that's absolutely true. Just keep in mind, even if God should permit us to go through even greater tribulation and heartache in our society, and we see the prosperity of the wicked get greater and greater, we have to trust in the Lord. If we will trust in Him, we will not fret, because we know that God will, in the end, be victorious. David speaks all the way through the passage about the judgment upon these people, and he says, they will be cut down like the grass. So don't be upset over that. And so we need not be shaken in mind or spirit. Why? Because we trust in God. We should not question His providence. And I realize that's difficult sometimes. But God in this providence is allowing these things to come to pass. And to be quite frank with you, I think it's judgment upon our nation, the things that we see and the things that our leaders are doing. And just the very consideration that supposed Christian people are voting certain positions in and certain people with their beliefs in, it just boggles my mind. But I need not fret over that. You know why? Because God is still in control. Trust in the Lord. We must trust His providence. And our response should be consistent with His character. You see, one of the cautions that David throws to them is, don't be envious of these people. Don't assimilate to them. Don't respond in an improper fashion. And so he says in that text here in verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. And do good. And that's the recommendation. And so don't just throw in the towel and say, well, I can't fight them, I might as well join them, and so we'll just do what they do and adopt what they adopt, and we'll just go with the flow. Can't do that. We don't want to join the wicked in their wickedness. And it also is not an excuse for us to do wrong. And so he says, you trust in the Lord and do good. And I recognize that as we progress in time in our society, that doing good is going to get harder and harder to do because of the corruption of those people who will be surrounding us. But we must, as the text says, if we're not going to fret, we must trust in the Lord and do good. Harry Ironside said this, you have often seen the little motto, and here's the motto he repeats, if you worry, you do not trust. And if you trust, you do not worry. And I think that's good advice. Let us look at that, recognize we're told by David here it not to fret. And the way not to fret is, first of all, here in verse 3, trust in the Lord. That's one way. Point number 2, verse number 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Delight yourself in God. Not just trust in Him, but delight in Him. That is to take pleasure in Him, to desire to please. He is your focus. His will is your delight. You want to respond to Him. Delight yourself in the Lord. Now, this is a very great promise here that when you pray and when you seek God's face, if you desire to do what God would have you to do and you want to be obedient to Him, then you'll have the right heart desires. Delight yourself in the Lord and He'll give you the desires of your heart. If you delight in Him, you'll have right desires. If you have right desires, He will give it to you. That's a great promise of prayer. But David offers this in response to, as you look around and you see all the distressing events of society, fret not. And you don't fret because you trust in the Lord and because you delight yourself in the Lord. Don't be shaken by the presence of evil. Don't be seduced by their prosperity. Don't be discouraged, but you trust in God and you do good. That's what we find in the text. And so as he comes into verse 4, delight yourself unto the Lord. God is still your answer. He is your resource despite the evil. Delight yourself in the Lord. Don't go away. Don't be drawn away. You make God your focus. You make God your priority. He's number one. And so when we look at what is about us in society and those things that can cause us great stress, Don't fret over them. But trust in God. Delight yourself in the Lord. Make Him the focus. But then point number 3, verse 5 and verse 6. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, it says. And He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Oh, we need to trust, we need to desire, and we need to commit. Commit. This word in the Hebrew, according to one of the commentators, the word means to roll upon. And one commentator gave the picture of a camel who would go down on his knees so the people can roll the burdens up on the camel's back, and then the camel can raise up and carry off the burden. To roll upon. That's that word commit here. We need to roll off these burdens and commit them. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Roll it upon Him. You understand that? So we read in 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. We sing, take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. How true is that? That's the idea that David says here. Is David aware of these things? Does he recognize this in a very personal way? Yeah, David had a very difficult time following after God. He had enemies on every side. He ran from Saul for 10 years. Does David know? Yeah, he remembers the Edomite who caused the death of Abiathar and the other priests. Does he know? Yes. Don't fret. Trust in God. Delight yourself in God. Commit your way unto the Lord. Roll it over to Him. And dear friend, what we find is that God is trustworthy and He is able to carry our load despite the evil appearances. God is able. And so in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Don't you recognize, my dear friend, that to join in with the wicked will not resolve their evil? You just can't lay it down and say, okay, well, go ahead and I'm on your side now. That's not going to resolve the evil. We must commit our way unto the Lord. We must stick with Him. We must delight ourselves in Him. We must trust in Him. And that's what David is saying to us as we look into verse 5 and verse 6. You roll your way unto God. And I remind you that God's way is the best way. Although at times He does permit evil. Yes, He does. God can stop it all in an instant, but He doesn't. His sovereign will and His sovereign plan allows their sin to continue. There's nothing wrong with God allowing that, and we might question that, but we have to trust God's providence, as we've already mentioned already. We have to commit our way unto the Lord. God's way is the best way. And I remind you that His will be accomplished. God's will be accomplished, and He will be victorious. And so we need to recognize as God's children, as we look about us and we see all these things, and we can hide and cower in the corner. But why should we do that? We need not fret, because we can trust in God, we can delight in God, we commit our way unto Him, and our way, when we commit it unto Him, will honor Him. And when we honor Him, we don't need to fret over any of these things. And we don't need to fret over the evildoers. And we don't need to fret over the evils that they produce. Why? Because we've committed it all to the Lord. Look at Proverbs chapter 16. A word of encouragement from the Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 16. And in verse 3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Roll them upon Him. Proverbs chapter 3, very familiar passage, verse 5 and verse 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Trust in God. Commit your way to Him. That's what David is telling us to do. Go back to our passage, Psalm 37. And the fourth thing that David says to us is found in verse 7 and verse 8. He says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in the way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass.
Fret not over that. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Rest in the Lord. How do we keep from fretting? Point number four, rest in God. Actually, the word in the Hebrew here means silence. Now, I submit unto you the idea being conveyed by David through the text is that we need to be at rest in mind and in soul. Not agitated, not vocal, that is, complaining or whining about all these things, nor impatient, nor murmuring over your condition. Be silent. Rest in the Lord. Be silent before Him. We have to be very careful not to speak about things that we don't understand. And we're very apt to just throw out an opinion. And oftentimes we're talking about things we don't even have any clue about. And yet we'll be sure to tell people what we think. Be careful about that. You rest in the Lord. Don't verbalize God's handling of the wicked. Well, God could have stopped it and He didn't. There's something wrong with God. People have that opinion. They think there's something wrong with God, that He's weak because God allows evil in the world. But God allows evil for a purpose. But one of these days He's going to wrap it all up. He's already conquered the devil. It's just a matter of time. We have to be careful about that. Oh, well, God must be making a mistake because look at that person. He's in office and she's in office and they do this and they do that and they're getting away with this and they're getting away with that. And boy, our judges are doing this and our courts are saying that. And where's God in all this? Be careful, my friend. Rest in the Lord. Don't be agitated. Be silent. Don't speak about things you don't know and don't verbalize about God's handling of the matter and don't voice your impatience of the evil and evildoers. You wait upon the Lord. That's what He's telling us to do. Fret not. Rather, I believe the idea of which David is expressing to us is let your silence give evidence of the peace in your heart. It'd be very easy to be distressful and just hide in the corner and speak and fear and whimpering. No need to do that. Rest in the Lord, he says. Spurgeon writes, "By no reasonings and under no circumstances be led into such a course. Fretfulness lies upon the verge of great sin. Many who have indulged a murmuring disposition have at last come to sin in order to gain their fancied rights. Beware of the carping at others. Study to be yourself found in the right way. And as you would dread outward sin, tremble at inward repining." Fret not. How? By resting upon the Lord. You be silent and wait upon Him. You see in the text, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Wait patiently during these circumstances. Psalm 27. Go back a few pages if you would. May God grant us grace to wait upon the Lord and to be patient in the Lord so that we would not fret at these things. Psalm 27, verse 14 says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Proverbs chapter 20, one verse over here. Again, out of Solomon's wisdom, Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 22, we read this, "Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and He shall save thee." Wait patiently upon Him. How do we do that? By resting on Him. Go back to our text, Psalm 37. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently on Him. So when we look at verse 7 again, down to the latter part of the verse and into verse 8, based upon these four things that we've mentioned that that David has written for us, do not fret. Do not fret. Verse 7, he says, "Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in the way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." And so upon these things, do not fret. Do not fret. Why? When? When the wicked seem to be prosper, don't fret. When the wicked appears to succeed in their wickedness, Do not fret. And so anger should not be our recourse. It's not the way to deal with it, nor should we join in their evil or respond in an evil way. And so verse 7 and verse 8 says, this is how you handle it, and this will be the outcome of it. You do not fret over those things. Do not do it your way. You trust in the Lord. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. So let me offer you in closing. Number one, we will always encounter evil men and evil deeds. It's just going to happen. We're going to have bad people in government, local and statewide and national. We're going to see evil rulers throughout the world. We're always going to be facing evil men and their evil deeds all the way until the time that Jesus comes back and fixes this thing. But up till then, you can mark it down. There's going to be evil. How are you going to react over that? I submit unto you, number two, then, that their attitudes and actions should not dictate ours. They might be evil. They might be corrupt. They might have bad attitudes and a wrong response and a wrong approach, but that doesn't have to be me. I don't have to adopt their perspective. I don't have to assimilate unto them. I am told not to fret. And so I want to recognize, yeah, the evil is always going to be there, but I don't have to be like them. And so number three, what we find in the passage that David makes very clear for us, we are commanded not to fret. Well, I'll tell you, go home and pick up that newspaper. It's easy to fret. Turn on the television, listen to the news, it's easy to fret. Turn on the radio and listen to the broadcast, it's easy to fret. And yet David says, fret not thyself because of evil doers. Okay? You told us not to do it. How do we bring this about in our life? There are four things that we looked at all the way through our message here today. The way we obey this command is fourfold. Very simply, number one, we trust in the Lord. Number two, we delight in the Lord. Number three, we commit our way unto the Lord. Number four, we rest in the Lord. And if we will do those four things, we will not fret. I do believe that this is the remedy for every believer. And David offers us this insight so that we would respond well to the circumstances that surround us in our society, as he responded well to the circumstances that surrounded him. Again, Spurgeon writes, cast away anxiety, resign thy will, submit thy judgment, leave all with the God of all. Fret not, my friend. Fret not. And this can only be done if you truly know him. I don't think a lost person can respond to this. You know why? Because a lost person will not be trusting in God, and they will not delight in the Lord. They will not commit unto the Lord. They will not be resting in him. A lost person can't respond this way. But a saved person can. And so if you know the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you know him as Lord and Savior, there is no reason for us as Christians to fret at the things we see in our society. Not saying you can't be concerned. Not saying you can't pray about it. Not saying you can't stand up against it. But we need not fret over these things. As Christians, we have more than what the world has. Those four elements appear very clear before us. You're here and you're lost. I'll tell you, you don't have much recourse. There's just not much to lean upon. And I can understand why people in the world are scared to death. It's fearful for believers, but no need to be. No need to fret. Our God is on his throne and in control, and we must trust in him. So David says in the first verse, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. And I close by offering you Proverbs 24:19. Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked. What counsel we receive from the Word of God as we look at our society, and we read the paper, and we see the news, and we just see this thing spiraling down into hell. Fret not. Fret not. Christian, keep your eyes upon God. You have these four things. Respond well. Dear sinner, oh, that you might be saved today. And make God your resource. Let's stand. Father, we thank you for the day. Bless your word to our hearts and just let us find great encouragement from your word today, that we might trust you in all things and help us to live godly and to have a great testimony for you, even in the face of persecution. May we bless them that curse us and do good to them that despise us, so that you would receive the honor and the glory, and God cause us not to fret. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.